Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with my man in the chair, the man who needs no introduction, Captain Jack Barry. Jack, as always, my friend, happy Reformation month. We're
yes,
in it. We're in the
happy
middle
Reformation.
Of it, dude.
We are.
It's awesome.
We are. Yeah.
It's, how are you?
Man, it's Josh knows that there's some tweets, there's some things that get me gassed up. We'll be going over stuff today that gets me in a good gassed up, and then there's other things that we'll go over.
Yeah,
that gets me in a ticked
off.
We'll
probably have to
save some of that
for the podluck, probably. Because Jack's gonna want to be in a place where he can speak freely. And and the podluck is that place.
I don't think we can do censors on the main eps because it's a kid show.
Kid show, so. Jack. Kid show. Keep it a kid show.
So yeah, but I was a little bit amped today about some tweets. So
oh sure,
but
yeah.
Anyway,
well, all in good time,
but,
Jack.
Lord's
all in good time.
Lord's Day was good. Lord's Day was good. So
awesome. Yeah, same here. I'm unusually tired, so if my thoughts come out all jumbled mess, that's why. It's been an unusually long week, and yeah, I'm really tired. Yeah. I'm full disclosure, going to bed like as soon as we're done recording. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah,
because it's just been that kind of week, my friend. But it's been good. Looking forward to digging into some Reformation month themed topics today, but before we do that, I'm not gonna pull what I did last week and completely forget the cigar review. I know there were I know Ed probably was jumping with joy thinking like we had forgotten, you know.
Sorry
Ed, it's back. It's back. We're back to regularly scheduled programming. You're just gonna have to suffer through it, Jack. Why don't you make it how about this, Jack? We'll split the difference. How about you make it a little quicker for this one? All right. We'll show Ed some grace, right? We still got to do it, but maybe make it a little shorter in for respect for our man Ed. So Jack, with that, without further ado, please give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week. What do you got for us?
Yes, so we are going with October is for Oz. So we are doing Oz Family Cigars. We did another cigar company called Old Henry, which is an offshoot of Jaime Garcia, that brand. But we've been doing Oz Family Cigars. This cigar that we're reviewing is called the Aramas A55. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting cigar. So this was worked, the Aramas was worked with Ernesto Perez Carrillo of EP Carrillo Cigars. And this is quite interesting. Quite interesting setup here. It's called the A55. I don't know. It's the A. It comes in four different vitola sizing: A52, A54, A55, A60. The A55 is basically a Robusto Grande. So think of like a bigger Robusto kind of sizing there, right? It is a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. Binder is Ecuadorian Sumatran. Filler is Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Connecticut broadleaf. Quite an interesting little lineup there. Half Wheel Cigars gave this cigar, the A55, a 89.
Ooh,
which in my book is probably like a 92 or a 93 in real life. Okay. So, has a lot of earthiness. I can say that pretty much right off the top from their review. Seems to be a little bit peppery as well too, but does have some creaminess as well to it. Some like espresso kind of cinnamon-ness to it. Trying to think what else. Has some like coffee, cocoa, cinnamon flavorings in there, as well as kind of like some cedarness and pepper. So this looks like a pretty good cigar. I have not smoked the cigar, but I trust Oz Family because I smoked the Bosophorus. So I trust kind of the family blend. Josh, like I always do, what is your take, your try here on the MSRP? Or just a stick?
All right, I'm gonna give a range on this one. I pinpointed the last one. I'm giving a range for this.
Okay.
I'm gonna go $13 to $14.
Just a little outside. It's $15.
Oh, dude, I went low.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you went a little low.
This one's a little bougie then.
This one's a little bougie. I mean, for getting an 89 on Half Wheel,
yeah,
you're doing something good there. You're doing something good. Right. That's a pretty good cigar. Anyways, that it's the Aramas A55, which is basically a Robusto Grande from Oz Family Cigars. Go get yourself one. Check it out. Josh, there we go, sir.
Excellent. Well, bring in the heavy hitting, as always, Jack. Well done. We thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke Sole Deo Gloria.
Ooh.
Hey, Jack. Hey, you know. It's Reformation Month. We got to get fancy. We do. All right. Jack, we have a topic that you have been on fire for all week. Okay. And I'm going to prime it like this, and then I'm going to send it over to you. Yeah. Every Reformation Month, you can tell it's Reformation Month because the papists come out of the woodwork. I have seen more reels, tweets, more posts, more articles talking about how if you are not taking the Eucharist and you are not engaging in weekly confession and you are not venerating the mother of Christ, then you do not understand the scriptures. All right. Apparently, Jack, I do not understand the scriptures because the Catholics right now, my friend, the Catholics are out in force and they, responding to, I mean, my Reformation Month joy is, is being met with some papist, perfundery, if you will.
Yeah.
And I just find that interesting that there's always that little battle that goes on, at least on the socials, during this month. Yeah. But Jack, kind of in line with that, you wanted to have some discussions kind of around this topic. So we do have, I'll throw it over to you first, kind of prime it for us. We do have a video clip from the late great, the GOAT, Papa Sproul. Yeah. That we're going to throw at you people. But Jack, what about this topic is so interesting to you, my man?
Yeah, I think the idea that we need a modern Reformation, I think we talk about that a lot. Yep. And I think people don't understand what that means. So I thought it was a mm-hmm. good chance for us to kind of engage with this Papa Sproul video where he actually does talk about it. But I mean, just even what you talked about, right? The fact that the Roman Catholic Church is saying you need to do this, you need to do that, mm-hmm. is coming after us Protestants, is the fact that we still need a modern Reformation. Mm-hmm. We still need to show people why the Reformation is so important today, as it was back in Martin Luther's day. Like those things, like people think that like the Reformation happened, it's over, it's settled. Like, as we'll see in this Papa Sproul video, I think it's a very important video. Plus like just tweets that I've been seeing that kind of give off a papist vibe. Mm-hmm. It gives off like an indulgence vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. I was kind of getting gassed up because I saw a tweet earlier today that said, if you're a Christian and you don't participate in voting, then you are going against this, something like you are failing the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, don't treat voting as an indulgence here. Don't treat voting like it's some sort of indulgence or sacrament that you're trying to put on people. Like, we got to go back to we got to combat that mm-hmm. with what Martin Luther said. No, it's sola scriptura, baby.
Yeah.
Like, we are not doing this dance. Okay. Right. So that's what really kind of gassed me up this week. But yeah, I think it's important when we talk about a modern Reformation, the stuff that was talked about in Martin Luther's day is still talked about now, and it still needs to be combated because it shows up every single day,
yeah,
in some way, in some form, in the local church. And if you are not prepared for those discussions, it will catch you off guard,
right?
And it's a form of it. It may not come in straight up indulgences, like I said. It may not come up for people trying to sell you something to get more time out of purgatory, but it comes off that way.
Right.
In certain ways. So
yeah,
that's kind of why I wanted to kind of show this video and have old Papa Sproul talk about it a little bit more.
But yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. There is a constant need for a modern Reformation, right? Because, and like you said, kind of at the beginning of your primer there, we're fighting the same battles than we were mm-hmm. that we were in the Reformation. It just looks different, right? It has different applications, it has different sayings, it has different people, but it's the same battles. Like, all you have to do is do a quick scroll, as I was doing while you were, because you got me thinking. I'm scrolling down the Twitter of the Antichrist himself, Pope Francis.
Man.
All right, I'm looking at Pope Francis's Twitter, dude.
Here we go, baby.
And dude, like, it's all you have to do is look and see how the gospel is absent from those things, right?
Yeah.
Here's one. Let us pray the rosary daily, entrusting ourselves confidently into the hands of Mary. We entrust to her. Man. The sufferings and desires for peace of suffering.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Okay. O Queen of Peace, convert the souls of those who feel hatred. Right? Man, like,
yikes.
Like, this is the same stuff.
Yikes.
Okay. And as you'll hear from Papa Sproul, right?
Yeah.
This stuff is there's even more to deal with now than there was in the days of the Reformation. You thought the days of the Reformation was bad in terms of the Catholic doctrine and the things that they were imposing on the people. Dude, today's even worse, right? And there is such a great need today for a modern Reformation, for the truths of the gospel to go forth clearly from the authority of Scripture and not the authority of men. That's always been a need, and it will always be a need. And the local church needs to be at the forefront of answering that need, right? So we're gonna play this Papa Sproul mm-hmm. thing, because I mean, Papa Sproul says it best. He really does. I'm gonna pull this up here. Jack, can you see this, my friend?
Yes, I can. Okay. You good?
All right, here we go. Here we go.
The Roman Catholic Church has changed since the 16th century. There's no question about it. And the differences that we had in the 16th century have changed. They're far greater now than they were in the 16th century. All the Mariological decrees have come since the Reformation. The De Fide Proclamation of the Infallibility of the Pope came since the Protestant Reformation. Things are not getting better. They're worse. And in the recent Roman Catholic Catechism of the decade of the 90s, all of the essential issues of the 16th century debate were reaffirmed in that catechism, including the treasury of merit, purgatory, indulgences, justification, the sacraments. So when people say the Reformation's over, they just don't know what they're talking about. That's simple. They don't know Roman Catholic theology.
So there's Papa Sproul, as always, hitting the nail on the head, saying things as clear and concise and better than anyone else could say it. And he's 100% right. Like that, these are the things that I think we forget, is there's so much emphasis placed on the works of the Reformation in the 16th century, right? When Martin Luther began what we know today as the Reformation by spreading that 95 theses and calling basically to task the Catholic Church to defend and to be able to defend their position with Scripture, right? There's so much emphasis placed on those things, and rightly so. Like it is at a momentous time in not just the history of the church, but the history of the world, right? And the developments just in technology and agriculture and the things that came out as a result of the Reformation, that enlightenment coming from that, is to this day still one of the greatest transitions that we see in history. But those truths that Martin Luther upheld and John Calvin upheld and John Huss upheld and William Tyndale upheld and the countless men and women that sacrificed their lives, put their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel, those truths are still just as needed to be proclaimed today as they were then, right? And as you heard from good old Papa Sproul, right, all of the issues, like so many of the issues that we see with particularly the Catholic Church, have come post-Reformation. It's a modern thing. The infallibility of the Pope, the deification of Mary, and using Mary, Jesus's mother, as a mediator, placing her in the position that only Christ was meant to fill. And here's the thing: was Mary a very special woman? Absolutely, she was. She was a woman set apart by God for a singular purpose. And she's the only woman ever to have been given that amazing task of birthing the Son of God, right? Yeah. And bringing him into this world. But Mary was a sinner.
Yeah.
In need of the exact same Savior that you and I are in need of. She birthed the Savior that would save her from her sins.
Yeah.
Mary is no more fit to be a mediator to the people of God than you and me are.
Yeah.
That was never her role. That was never the point. Right. And you have the basically the deification of Mary. You have the placing Mary in the place of mediator between God and man, and that we pray to Mary and she somehow takes those prayers and takes them to the Father and advocates on our behalf. You have the perpetual virginity of Mary, which is not true. Jesus had brothers, right? She had more kids after Jesus was born. It wasn't a one and done. Her and Joseph continued to get busy and have children.
Oh yeah.
It's what she did.
Yep.
And when Mary died, she went into the presence of her Savior. Right. Mm-hmm. So these issues that we see, that I think for so many Christians, I think they just take like almost a lackadaisical approach specifically to Catholicism. I think there's a lot of Christians that call out Mormonism, a lot of Christians that call out Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of Christians that call out,
you know, the Muslim faith and the Buddhist faith and Wiccans and New Age and all this stuff. But Catholicism is always one that I have found, I don't want to say gets a pass, but is almost left just be like, well, I mean, we're pretty close. And it almost acts and is treated as it's simply another denomination within the Christian faith. Right.
Mm.
And that's, there's nothing farther from the truth. If you're going to look at the actual doctrine of the Catholic Church, right? Not those that call themselves Catholics that might be blessedly either ignorant or inconsistent. The doctrines of the Catholic Church, they are unsavable. If you believe in the treasury of merit and that Mary is there giving you her merit in order for you to be saved, if you believe that your righteousness is purchased through your works or through the sacraments or through your ability to observe those things, or if you believe that if you die without having confession to a priest, that you die in your sins and you're unsavable. Like, these are real doctrines that Catholics believe, that it does not take a master's degree in theology to see the implications that those have on the gospel, right?
Yeah. I mean, just take indulgences.
Oof.
Like, there's still indulgences happening today. It doesn't get popularized because I think the way in which the Catholic Church did this, the way in which indulgences got in front of Martin Luther, which was so egregious. Like, he saw basically what is his famous rival, who was
John
Tetzel, wasn't it?
Yep, John Tetzel.
Okay. I knew it was something along those lines. He saw Tetzel as basically an absolute charlatan, like a huckster, right?
Yeah.
He's going to poor people. He's basically selling them these indulgences to get more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's done today is like super underground. Like, you literally have to go to like certain like Catholic websites and see a proclamation from Pope Francis or something along those lines to see indulgences being referenced, and they still get referenced, and you can purchase indulgences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that has not gone away, people.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's not in the mainstream doesn't mean it doesn't go away. It's still there. I just think of like when he talks about, like, we had something as well when the Reformation happened, the Catholic Church doubled down. So they did the Council of Trent basically doubled down on doing a counter-Reformation. So everything that Martin Luther was coming at the Catholic Church with, the Catholic Church said, nope, not changing that, not reforming it, not doing it.
Yeah.
So what Martin Luther was setting out to do, and I do think if Martin Luther was, and I want to make something clear too, I don't think Martin Luther's objective was to split the church by any means.
No.
And I think so many people think of that, but what Martin Luther wanted to do, why we call ourselves Protestant, was to protest these things that were clearly unbiblical, had no form or way, the doctrines, what then came from the infallibility of the Pope, the Marian dogmas, everything along those lines. He wasn't seeing those things. He was not seeing indulgences in the text of Scripture.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a very big thing when Martin Luther's trying to combat things in a sense of protesting them and trying to change it from within.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we kind of have that right now going on in the Pacific Northwest. Like, all the Boeing machinists are protesting
sure,
so that reform can happen. so they can go back to work, right?
Right.
So they obviously want to go back to work for Boeing under the right conditions.
Yeah.
And I view that that's the same thing that Martin Luther wanted, where he's like, I'm protesting in order that I can affirm the faith and stay in the Catholic Church, but I can't stay in the Catholic Church if we're going to have stuff like this being affirmed. Mm-hmm. So I think people kind of confuse, like, Martin Luther was strictly rabble rousing. He strictly wanted to go in there and cause division. You know what? The Roman Catholics, they eat that up because they still call Martin Luther a heretic.
Oh, sure.
Straight up.
Right.
I think the only person that out of pre-Reformation, pre-Martin Luther, like pre-1517, I think the only murder from Tyndale and Huss that was confessed and apologized for was Jan Hus.
Hmm.
Tyndale wasn't apologized for, but Jan Hus is, I think it was Pope John Paul II, actually apologized for that.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't matter because they're still doing the same doggone stuff that Jan Hus and William Tyndale were going against too before Martin Luther came along and said, I'm done with this. Here's what we need. Here's what's happening. So, but it's still happening today under our very noses. Mm-hmm. We just think that it just got settled back then in history. So thus it doesn't happen. And it's like, no, it's still happening.
Yeah.
Like it's still congruent. Like what Papa Sproul was saying, like the catechism of the Catholic Church doubled down on those things in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Catholic Church has doubled down on everything since the era of the Reformation. And even after the era of the Reformation,
right.
They're not going to change their ways.
Yep.
And so what you have to do is say, is do like Martin Luther says, here I stand, I can do no other, and say, listen, we're going against this because we are convinced by scripture that this is not the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
These are not the essentials.
Right.
We're going back to the original languages too, and we are not seeing the stuff that the Catholic Church is putting out as dogma.
Yeah.
That's just that we don't see it.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, you really have to go back to the essential focus of what Martin Luther was doing and say today, we are still protesting the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Sure.
That doesn't change.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can say come on home to the Catholic Church, and I'm saying no, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
we're gonna stand with Brother Martin here.
We will stand on this side of the Tiber. Thank you.
Yeah, we will stand with Brother Martin and say until you confess that these things are going against the text of Scripture and the original meaning of what Jesus wanted for his church, we are not crossing that river.
Yeah.
Nor will we ever.
Let them know.
Until there is repentance, until there is turning away from these things, until there is pulling down of stuff, we ain't doing it. We ain't going back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, because look what happens, right? Like, look what happened back then when you take the authority of Scripture out of the equation, which is something Martin Luther was advocating for, right? Reform back to Scripture as the authority, right? But that's not how it was. It was the popes and the priests, right, that had the authority, right? Because they were the ones that were in charge of the interpretation. You didn't have the Bible in your own language, so you had to trust in those that were learned, that were able to give the Bible to you. And that's part of the problem, is you have somebody in a position of power that is using that power for corrupt means, and there's abuse that happens there, right? So when you have that, you saw that abuse of power and that moving away from Scripture, right? In the Jack already said, the indulgences, that's a big one, right? A coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. And if you put money in here, you can save your soul from purgatory. Put more money, you can save one of your relatives or your wife or your grandparents, right?
You can save souls on credit. You can put money in there and save the souls of your kids that haven't passed yet, right? All of the relics that you could touch to take time off purgatory, that you could climb the stairs and say a prayer on every one, and every single one took a time off on purgatory. And you just see this moving away from scripture, this moving away from the sufficiency of the word, moving away from salvation being by grace and grace alone, and God being the authority. And then it goes to what? Whatever that Pope wants to say about it, or those priests, however they want to interpret it. Same thing's happened today. Look at the Catholic Church today, right? Mm-hmm. Affirming gay marriage, affirming, like, I guess it depends on which Pope you're talking about, but affirming the killing of the unborn, the murder of the unborn, right? You have just a slew of unbiblical things coming out of the Catholic Church. And you have the like, even within the Catholic Church now, there's a schism. You have the old time Catholics who want things conservative the way that they grew up, and then you have the new age, the new wave of Catholics that are wanting to come in and reform it, but not reform it in terms of scripture, reform it in terms of the rules of the culture, right? And I'm sitting here like, you guys, all of you are missing the plot. You're missing the point.
Yeah.
Just like you did back in the 1500s, just like you throughout the entirety of history, you're still missing the point. And that is that if scripture is not your authority, you have no basis to say anything is true. If scripture is not your authority, you have no basis to say anything is right or anything is wrong. Right? That is what that's the fact of the matter. And the truths of the Reformation proclaimed that scripture is the authority, that if you want to do things correctly, we need to go to the authority of scripture. And it's the same thing today. It's the exact same thing. We need to understand that salvation is by grace and grace alone. We do not need popes. We do not need Mary. We do not need confessions. We do not need indulgences. We don't need relics. We don't need any of that crap. Because Christ is sufficient. When he said on that cross, "It is finished," he meant every single word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't set up an alternate means of salvation or to gain righteousness. It was him. That's what he did. Right. Yeah. So as we engage with our Catholic, friends or coworkers, or we need to do so with an understanding. We do not believe the same thing.
We
believe in a different gospel. It might be very similar in language. It might be very similar historically, because we have a lot of things that go in and out of each other, right? But it's not the same. A salvation that is not a gospel that is not grace and grace alone is no gospel at all. And we have to remember that in 2024, just like the reformers did in 1517. It's the same battle, it's the same truths, and the need is just as great today.
And it just goes back to, the Catholics can be as Trinitarian as they want to be, but that gets undercut by all the dogmas that we just talked about.
Yeah. But I mean, believing in the Trinity isn't the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, a Trinitarian theology is only as good as what it's believed upon, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that gospel being sufficient. And if it's not sufficient for salvation and you need additional things in order to kind of prop it up, I absolutely agree that it is a different gospel. And now cults are doing the same thing. They're using Christian language in order to try and pass off this idea that, oh no, we're really the same here. It's like, no, we're not.
No.
It was like, this is my dilemma, Josh. Oh. I almost wanted to get into a discussion with the Jehovah's Witnesses because they were standing outside a library and it was a kid's story time that I took my son and my wife and my son went to this kid's story time and I went with them. And I'm just like, man, I really want to ask a question about why these people believe that the Jehovah's Witnesses are so good, you know? Yeah. And I'm just like, nah, it's going to take way too much time. My wife's going to be like, Jack, nope. My like, wife's going to give me that look. She's like, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
We have to get home.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there.
So it's like, but it's still like they use language, right?
Yeah.
They prop up stuff saying free Bible studies.
Right.
That is a same evangelistic language that the Protestant church uses all the time in different ways.
Sure.
And in different arenas, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty like on neutral ground. But remember, the Bible that they're studying is the New World Translation that is completely
It's not the same.
Just edited and redone in order to maintain the Jehovah's Witnesses theology as well, too.
Right.
So what the Reformation was doing is going back to those original languages, right? Going back to ad fontes, the sources, and saying, what did Paul really write in the Greek to those early churches?
Mm-hmm.
Unadulterated.
Yeah.
Without the babble and the encrusting of other stuff that happened over the centuries of translation, what was really going on there, right? I think that's super important because we face a modern Reformation with those cults every day.
Sure.
Every day I see Jehovah's Witnesses. Every day you see Mormons. You are dealing with a Reformation just right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Mormons think that they really have the Reformation and they're the true church. And you just got to hit them with a little 95 theses. You know what I mean?
That's right. Bob and Lee. Bob and Lee. So, right hook. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's stuff. It's not just the Roman Catholics. Okay.
Yeah.
It is every single day. People are in your life that believe false gospels that they need a modern Reformation just as the Catholic Church does.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down, it maybe just be your modern Reformation just looks at engaging with those people and having a conversation and praying for them.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, those people accept Jesus and truly repent
mm-hmm.
of the sin of going into that cult and believing what they did, and they come out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe your modern Reformation looks like that.
Yeah.
Maybe your modern Reformation looks like going to your Roman Catholic friends and saying, hey, why on earth are you guys believing in the treasury of merit and indulgences?
Yeah.
I am not seeing this in the text.
Yeah.
Nor do I see it as pertinent for salvation.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that we really want to bring this idea of needing a modern Reformation to happen down to the local church level.
Yeah.
Because every single church member deals with that every single day in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and in public maybe too. I mean, you got Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons out in public all the time.
Right.
That's a public ordeal that's happening right there. So
yeah.
Yeah, I just really want to focus in on that because so many people think, well, what does a modern Reformation look like? And it can be just as easy as starting to having those engagements
mm-hmm.
and then just praying for people and then praying for repentance and trusting in Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how the first one started.
That may be it.
The first one didn't start with Martin Luther like like having a meeting with the Pope. Right. He wrote his 95 theses and he put them out for discussion. Right.
Yeah.
And the Lord used it. Right. Who knows what the Lord's going to use. Right. In 2024. See, and you're 100% right. Like that needs to be not just something that we pray for corporately for the church, but something individually as well. Like, Lord, give us the same zeal that these men and women of the Reformation had to preach the truth faithfully, because there are so many lies that are out there being masked as truth, right? And I think it was Spurgeon that said, like, the true discernment isn't seeing right from wrong, it's right from almost right. And that's what you have with the Catholic Church and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, is they'll use the same language on the surface. It looks the same, but we start digging in and realize you believe something wildly different than what the scriptures teach.
Yeah,
and we need to put the gospel forward. That's what it needs. There's just as much need today, if not more, for a reformation, for men and women to hold the truths of scripture high and to say, here we stand, we're not budging, right? Mm. Because the same God that used that zeal and those truths to spread that the truth of the gospel like wildfire through Europe is the same God that is with us today. He's building his church, and his church will not fail.
Yep.
Right? And he builds it on the backs of men and women that are faithful to preach the gospel, right? With Christ as our head, Christ as our foundation, we march forward with the truth of the gospel. And that's what a modern reformation looks like. And it starts in the church. It starts in the local churches. Starts with us preaching it, praying it, singing it, living it. I'm fully convinced of that. So,
yep. Josh, I think Big Eva has something.
I think she has, my friend. I think it is time for us to get out of here, my friend.
Time to go uncensored on the potluck.
Jack's about to go scorched earth on the pot. He's been a rabid dog all day, dude. He's been texting me like, dude, I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped about that. I'm like, hold it. Save it.
I'm gas.
Save the energy.
I'm gas.
Save the energy for the potluck. That's right. Jack, why don't you get this out of here, my man?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's efforts to make the local church central into the believer's life and to make a modern reformation happen in your local church as well, too, and to combat the falsehoods against the Roman Catholic Church, you too can support us on the Reformatory. You can support us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, those nasty little things online.
Yes.
The metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the always true and trusted dumpster fire that is the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. Yeah. You can support us and pop us, or shoot us a direct message, shoot us an episode idea, have a question for us. You can direct message us at those sociables, at the tags, at Reformatory Pod on all those sociable platforms. Josh, you could tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways that you can support the Reformatory. We have YouTube. So if you want to head on over to YouTube, you can like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. We do appreciate that. We also appreciate ratings and reviews. It's 5 stars for 5 soulless. It's Reformation Month, people. Maybe you've been a longtime listener and you've never given us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. We ask that you do that. That would be fantastic. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, and we have bonus episodes that go up there every week, right? And Patreon's also going to get first crack at new Reformatory merch. Jack, it's in the works. It's in the works.
Oh, boy.
We've partnered with, and I'm going to make the announcement, all right? We're not ready to go yet, but the announcement is here. I'm gonna make this breaking news, Jack. We've partnered with a small mom-and-pop shop online called Amazon and we're gonna be promoting Reformatory merch through Amazon. We're gonna have shirts, sweatshirts. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great. But
mom and pop shop called Amazon.
That's right.
What's the guy's
Bezos.
Name?
Bezos.
Who owns Amazon? Old Jeffrey Bezos, dude. Yeah.
Salt of the earth, that guy. You know, just an everyday Joe. Yeah.
Oh, but anyway,
Reformatory merch is on its way, people. All right. But if you want first crack at that and first announcements of that when it becomes live, you've got to head on over to the Patreon. All right. Join the Patreon. Become an exclusive member there. And if you do so, our pledge to you is this your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.